Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, and thanks for downloading the Sunranto Show, which is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters, who we call the Super Ranters. For more information how you can become a Super Ranter and listen to the Sunranto Show early and ad-free, join our Patreon campaign and support us at patreon.com/sunranto. Do it today, and you'll never have to hear me ask you again. Here's the show.
Coffee blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Coffee Sunranto.
Michael Cotton.
Sunranto.
Michael Cotton.
Sunranto and the lovable Lucy.
Boutros Ghali.
Sunranto.
Michael.
Sunranto.
Cotton.
Sunranto and the lovable Lucy.
Michael Cotton.
Sunranto.
Boutros Ghali.
Sunranto and the lovable losers.
Hey, and I heard that beer crack because it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is here. Happy Monday, everybody. We'd normally go on Sunday nights, but unfortunately, well, the game would have gotten rained out if it wasn't, because it rained all day yesterday in Chicago for the most part. The game would have gotten rained out, so it was actually good they played at night, but that's why we're going on Monday before the Cubs face the Mets. Sunranto Show is brought to you by our 110 Patreon supporters. Thank you very much for your support. This show does not happen without you. If you want to know how you can support the Sunranto Show and keep the lights on here at the podcast, never know what to call it now. Is it still a podcast? Because we're going live. We're a live podcast.
To me, it's always a podcast.
Streamcast.
Streamcast.
We're a streamcast. Anyway, we're brought to you by you. So if you would like to help bring us to you, please support us at patreon.com/sunranto. And as always, chance in the chat, hashtag chance in the chat, and you could win a postcard sent to you by me with a message of hope and doom. I don't know. However I'm feeling. We don't know. We could be both.
Hope and doom.
Hope and doom.
I like
doom.
How it's hope and doom.
And you heard the voice right there of the Cubes fanatic.
That's
wearing
me.
A Bears hat. Have you, you've given up on Cubs. It just Bears win one freaking game and you stop wearing a Cubs hat. And you're just like right into it. I'm like, you do know they're going to lose all the rest of their games, right? You know that, right?
I mean, I had to give them props today because they actually won. And embarrassingly, I shut the game off halftime because it was garbage. And then I saw them win and slide in the water and do all their fun stuff. And
made me want to be a Bears fan again. I was a Bears fan as a kid, and then I was like, meh.
Yeah. Oh, man. I haven't really watched a lot of NFL in a couple years, right? Just kind of, I don't know, fell out of it a little bit. It's brutal. They talk about baseball being a slow game. Are you fucking kidding me?
They're commercial every 3 seconds. They're like, they do one thing and they're like, Budweiser beer. And I'm like, where are we going? And then they have all these weird graphics and stuff. Like, did you see that they had Ozzy Osbourne performing at Thursday night in like during the halftime show? And they're like, no, let's cut away to the sidelines and do a game recap instead of letting everybody see Ozzy. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, America doesn't want this. They want to see a bat getting its head bit off.
They fucking spend all that money to bring the dude in, and then they're just like, we don't need to put that on TV.
You get 10 seconds of it. So, yeah, no, they Dominic says, I snoozed all day. Football takes so long in between plays. Yeah, it is a slow game. And then, but it has a fair amount of action when there's action happening, you know, when they're running and going, you know, doing
3 to 4 seconds every like minute. Yeah. There's something happening, you know, and like
it's better in baseball sometimes. Well, because pitches.
Yeah, well, but pitch. Yeah, I don't know. I'm.
Well, now there's going to be at least 4 pitches a minute. At least.
Right. At least. Yeah, no, we'll but it's like it's nice because when I'm watching baseball, like they just don't cut away. I mean, that's what kills it for me. If they just stay on the game, I'm not going to get lost.
Keep talking on the game. Keep talking about the game. Keep showing the quarterback, like, you know, with like, you know, steam blowing out his mouth because it's cold and stuff. Yeah. See him lining up. See the coach getting nervous, calling a play. Like, stay in the game. Show me the game. Don't go back to the sideline person and be like, this guy was born in Hannibal, Missouri. And I'm like,
well, I'm not even talking about that. It's like the commercials. There are just so many commercials that, like, literally the commercial comes on. And I'm like, oh, well, I should go, you know, change the laundry out because I got 4 minutes here. And then I go change the laundry and then I come back and I've missed like 4 plays. And then I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. And then there's another fucking commercial. And then, you know, I'm like, I should go make some food. And I go make some food and I come back and I miss another couple. And it's just, and if I sit there, I'm just fucking sitting there and it's like, oh, okay, I'm on my phone and then I'm on my phone instead of watching the
game.
Instead of
watching the game, yeah.
They just take you out of the game, the experience all the fucking time. It is
insane. Now with gambling, it's all like, it's even going to get worse. So I guess, well, let's get into the
Cubs. Let's talk about baseball. Yeah. But look, I just wanted to say props to the Bears for coming back and doing some shit. And I hope they beat the crap out of fucking, Moonshine Shack quarterback, the dude up there. And
are they playing Green Bay next?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, fucking, he is the dirtiest looking motherfucker in the world. Like, he is really leaning into it.
Well, yeah, why not? I mean, you'd be scared of him. You're like, oh no, if I touch him, I might end up with some kind of disease. So it's how he never gets sacked. They're like, well, I'm not touching him. I know. Yes. Yeah, close to that guy, I'll get monkeypox.
So just wanted to do that. But yeah, we're going to talk about some baseball here because despite what the Ricketts have done to us, they play 162 games regardless.
They've done it twice now. They've done it 2 times now. The Ricketts have done it to us, torn it down. So we'll start with the first series and just short shrift on the Reds because we'll just say this much. Cubs kicked their butts. Then they kicked our butts. And then there was a game that the bull penis blew is pretty much what happened. Even after Seiya Suzuki decided to, you know, do a go ahead home run that could have been heroic, but instead it will go down as just another, you know, home run that didn't end up mattering a loss.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what happened. Now here's the exciting stuff though. I got to go into a suite. I got another, my free ticket. My free ticket streak, it keeps going because, like, the Cubs are terrible because Ricketts done it to us. And so, like, tickets galore everywhere all over the place. If you want to go to a game, it's pretty easy. Just go on Twitter and type in Cubs ticket. And there's somebody giving a ticket away on there. There is. You know, go on Facebook, Cubs ticket. Somebody will have it and be like, hey, I can't use it tonight, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to pay anymore. It's great. Except for the fact that the beer is still $15. So, you know, but anyway,
well, now that nobody's going though, Cup Snakes gone. I haven't been seeing any people. Cup Snakes because you can't make a Cup Snake when there's one person for every 3 or 4 rows.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They just need bigger cups, but, I got to go into a suite, kind of snuck in sort of with, Stuart, but I guess who I was in there with, first of all, the amazing anthem singer, John Vincent. I had a very long conversation with him about music. And it's funny because I told him, I was like, dude, you can't ever stop doing the shtick. He's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm like, holding the note. You got to hold the note. Everybody loves it. And I'm like, how did that get started? He's like, well, I did it the one time and everybody cheered and now I wasn't going to do it again. But they're like, oh, you got to do it again. So then it became a thing. Now he's got to do it every time. And it's got to get longer and longer and longer. And, you know, and sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes you could tell he's like not feeling it. So he gets like 18 seconds in, 16. And then sometimes he's like really got the good breath and he could go like 23, 24. So we had a little conversation about all that stuff. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, some people, they think it's disrespectful. They've had conversations with me. I'm like, fuck them. Fuck all those people. They don't know how to have fun. They're complaining about something that everybody likes. And, you know, it's kind of like you in the DH. You know, everybody likes the DH. And here comes
nobody likes the fucking DH. Nobody likes the DH. This is the thing. Nobody likes the DH. All they thought that they what they thought was, I don't like pitchers striking out all the time. And lo and behold, they fixed it. I haven't seen a strikeout all year. They fucking got rid of the pitchers. Nobody's ever struck out again.
No.
And, you know, the DH is runs. Boring.
Well,
the DH is boring. Like, literally just, it's the game just fucking doesn't really do anything anymore. Like,
well, we got some comments here. Bill Sugis, to the point, I hate the DH. Angel Moreno says, I like Reyes as DH. And now, I like Reyes, period. Just like as a human. Like he
he's
was out
just
there.
A fun dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Reyes. I wish he could play a position. But yeah.
Wouldn't it be more fun if he was out in left field near you guys where you could talk to him?
It would be. And I think he'd like us a lot out there, too. We got Hap out there. He's friends with everybody. That's kind of nice. But yeah. You know, I would dig me some Fran Mill out there. So anyway, I get to go into not only was John Vincent there, we have a great conversation about, you know, holding the note, how he got started singing and stuff. He's going to come on Sun Ranto sometime in the offseason. Maybe we'll have a conversation. I said, come on, we'll just talk about music. Because yeah, like, like, that'd be fun. We don't have to talk about baseball. Forget it. So then, but the other person that was there is the insurance king, I think that's what he sells, of Chicago, Jeff Vuk. Jeff Vukovich.
Oh,
yeah, dude. Vukovich was in there with a bunch of guys. And then I find out we're in the marquee suite. Okay. We're in the marquee booth. So, like, so I'm eating the mac and cheese. I'm having a hot dog. You know, they had some meatballs, eating those, having a good time, drinking free beer, having a great time. I'm like, oh, I'm in the marquee suite. Then the marquee guys kind of come in. Hey, you guys having a good time? We're like, yeah, yeah, nice to meet you. We're all glad.
Guys? Like Cole Wright? And
No. Those guys didn't come in. It was like, I don't know, like maybe behind the scenes guys.
Like the guys out of the truck, the producers,
well, there
stuff like that.
Anybody that wasn't working, because all those guys are working. Right. At that moment, these guys weren't working there. I think they're more like sales dudes or whatever. Like,
the executive producers.
Yeah. Or like, you know, the guys that tweet. I don't know. Either way, the dude had been following me. He was following me on Twitter. And I had to be like, oh, dude, just so you know, my whole anti-marquee stance is just an act. Don't worry about it. I really like you guys. You guys are fine. Like, I'm in their suite. Like, I can't be like, hey, yeah, right. You guys suck. And I make fun of you all the time on my show.
Did he say something?
No, like, I just saw he followed me. So he's seen all the shit. He's like, I follow you. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was fun. We had a good time. But then we played the Giants. And I don't know. What do you want to say about this? Like, let's do a poem. Should we do a poem?
Sure.
All right, let's do a poem, game one poem. This is the win. I'm going to play the music.
All right, poem 138, Chicago, 4, San Francisco, 2.
Smiley bounces back, Horner gets a jack. It marks the tertiary anniversary. Getting called in, Cubs get the win, though Manrod made a mess, Hughes got the rest.
Nah. Yeah. Very nice. I mean, Drew Smiley, what a great outing by him again. Ever since he came back from the IL, he's pretty much been lights out. And then news dropped about that whole question about that option. We were like, well, it's just a transactional thing, it's not a real option, it's a mutual thing, just so they give him $1 million and he goes away and blah blah blah. Anyway, apparently that's all fake. There's an actual option. Gordo reports $10 million. Like, I don't really know what to make of this at this point. Two completely different things have been reported. I hope they get him back. If it's $10 million, they'd be stupid not to do it.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, Smiley, he had a good game 2 games ago, and then he kind of blew up against the Cardinals. It was almost like at Wrigley, he's doing great right now, and then down in St. Louis, he was not so much. But I don't know. I like what I've been seeing at him. Like, finally, the dude is fucking pitching, and he goes deep. You know, like,
deep into the game.
He threw 104 pitches in 7 innings. And honestly, we don't see that very often. So I'm happy about it. He and Sampson are like starting to chew up some innings now.
Yeah, him and Sampson, and like, you know, the maybe the piggybacky situation. Like, we saw Wesneski come out, and we didn't talk about that with the Reds, that he came out and he freaking totally shoved. It was exciting. He was like stomping around the mound. You know, he thought he was hot shit, and he was hot shit. He was like struck out 8 and 5 innings. It was awesome. In that piggyback start with Miley. Then they tried it again. It didn't work. And he wasn't that good. He gave up 2 homers. And like, you know, so we don't know what we have there. But like, if you got dudes that can eat innings, you can put together the back of your rotation like you're the Brewers, and you piggyback a few guys. You see them one time through the order. You got some long bullpen games, maybe twice a week. And you can make that happen if you got good enough pitchers. But when it falls through, sometimes it falls through hard.
Yeah.
And then, your bullpen's a guy short.
Yeah,
because that was playing. You know, not a guy. Sometimes multiple dudes short, and everybody injured. But that's a bullpen. That's how that goes.
And I mean, tired. I like the thought process. Use 2 guys in a game. You know, like they used to do for most of relievers history. Like Lee Smith used to come in the fucking 7th all the time.
It goes 3 innings,
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Like, that was his job. He'd be asleep until the 5th. He'd come walking out, like, wiping the fucking gunk out of his eyes and shit. And he's got drool all over the side of his face.
Oh, he's got sleep lines for where the pillow. And
that's why he was so good. He'd get those eye boogers, right? And get that on the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, let's see what else. So that was the win, and that was good. Game two, this was the one. Okay, so I not only did I get to go to a suite this week, I got to go to the 1914 Club, thanks to my friends Ryan and Tara, who had 2 extra tickets for 1914. I invited you, Michael, first because I was like, Michael never gets to do cool shit. Maybe he'd drive up for this, you know, and then couldn't do it.
And what sucked is we had some plans, like a couple of people were coming over to watch a fucking Hawkeye Cyclone game, and it was the worst goddamn game. And the Hawkeyes lost, and it was terrible. And the whole fucking time, I'm like, I could have been in the fucking 1914 Club getting hammered with Danny.
Yeah, you could have been, but you weren't, because I was there with Crawley. Because the list got down to him, and he said no at first.
The list got down to him.
No, because I tried to think about it. I had just been with Crawley on Tuesday night at that suite. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, who doesn't get – I thought of it this way. Who doesn't get to do cool shit ever? You know what I mean?
So yeah. Oh, I was fucking – I was bummed when I had to be like, I can't, because, you know, I mean, most Saturdays I
could have done. That's why the tickets are available, because people are busy and they don't want to go. You know,
well, and they've had these tickets for however long, and they're not thinking about them. And then they're like, you know, I'd rather
on tequila. Like, you could do that in your house for like $12.
Yeah, and they're like, I've got tickets to the Northwestern game. Yeah. You know, so
other shit going on. But check this out. This is hilarious. So I'm going to put up some pictures here for the podcast listeners. This is my first plate of food. I got churros and waffles covered in syrup. I got some sweet potato succotash. I got some Caesar salad over there. And I got the brisket, a couple of slices of brisket. Now, yonder at that other plate, his tastes have not changed since he was 8. Macaroni and cheese and a hamburger. He's got an entire – that's Crawley's plate.
Yeah.
He's eating. I'm like, dude, you know they've got a carving station. What's wrong with you? He's like, it's wasted on me. I was like – he's like drinking beer. I'm like, dude, they've got top shelf, you know, pure agave tequila drinks. He's like, I'm good. Don't worry about
it. Now, I will say, I would have had a couple of drinks, I think, but I would have tried to stick to beer more because I would have been stupid. I would have been sloshy coming out of there if I had drank too much of that. But that's the fine. Food, I'm 100% with you. I would do that. I remember going out to eat. Some dude I didn't know was like with friends. Wanted pepperoni pizza. That's it. Nothing else. Could not eat anything except for pepper. I'm like, we are in this place and they got like this fucking awesome pizza. He's like, nah, it's pepperoni. It's all I have.
It's like, yeah, no, a lot of people like that. Some people, you know, it's texture. Some people it's, color. They only eat white foods, you know, like they do. Like there are people like that. It's weird. Some people put ketchup on hot dogs. Strange.
That's
Anyway, Ricketts was hanging out. There he is over there by the ladies' room where he likes to chill. But it was funny. I'm like, I go over, I'm like, hey, Ricketts is here. He's like, where? And Crawley's like, the next time I see Crawley, he's talking to Ricketts. And I go, I'm sorry, sir. Is she bothering you? So then Crawley, he had a talking to. The usher had to tell him that he had to shut up.
To stay away from the Ricketts?
No. In the stands. He was like giving it to Jock Peterson. He's giving it to all the guys. He's like calling the new catcher Bart. He's like, you're no Posey. Like he's, you know, giving it to him like he's in the bleachers. You're not allowed to do that.
Sir, you're not with the rabble in the bleachers.
So he got yelled at. And so instead he decided to steal this guy's wife. And then it's funny. I like look over because I'm behind him and I'm like, dude, you totally grabbed this guy's wife for taking me out to the ball game. He's got like his hands in his pockets anyway. And he's just going nuts, but he was a good time. And the thing is, when they shut him up, the ladies behind us, everybody's drunk in that section. Like if you think about it, what a weird thing. You're like, let's take the first five rows and we're going to give them free booze.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. You know, like you're just asking for it. You're asking for it.
They're like the fucking rich people, right? Like they're like, if I have to, I'll just stumble my ass over to Hotel Zachary and I'll fucking put it on my black card and it won't be a big deal. Like they have no issues whatsoever. You know, like they don't have to walk home or get a ride or do any of that shit. They don't have to work the next day. You know, they're just like fucking whatever. Let's just party.
Well, it was funny to watch Crawley just kind of get yelled at because the fans, some of the fans around, they were looking at him as their leader. He's like, keep going, keep hitting them. And I'm like, if you guys like this, you should go sit in the bleachers. You'll love the bleachers if you think this is fun because we really hammer dudes out there. But I'm like, they don't. Here's the thing. You're really close. It's almost too close. It's kind of like looking at your hand fake. Like this. You're like, I don't see anything, you know.
Yeah, you can't right in front of you can't fake it that they're not hearing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Jock Peterson's having a lot of fun. He's a fun guy. You know, he's got his hair, got the pearl necklace. We're like, we missed the pearls, Jock. Bring back the pearls, you know. You know, that kind of thing. But did you see he slipped around the base paths twice in that game?
Twice.
Just falling on his ass. He's a fun player. I kind of wish we kept him. He would have been a good.
Apparently, he was good. All he had to do was get an opportunity to hit against lefties at Wrigley.
They just platooned him and then traded him. I mean, what did we get for him? I don't even remember. Somebody put it in the chat.
But that was the whole thing. They didn't platoon him. Like, they let him hit against lefties. That was like why he went to the Cubs, is that he wanted to do that. And so he got a lot more opportunities to show that he could hit against the lefty.
Yeah.
And then they traded him to the Braves and became a world champion.
So we got a couple of comments and questions in the chat. Carrie Bronner-Meyer writes in, no Uncle Mike. Uncle Mike is in the green room as we speak, and we're bringing him on at the break. So and Artie says, all hail Crawley. That's pretty much what was going on out there in the 1914 club, but he almost got kicked out for it. So, you know, it takes just kind of how it's going. Happened? Rivas hit the little league homer. That was kind of fun. Anything else kind of fun? No, we made Logan Webb's a pretty good pitcher and he pitched well against us and we couldn't really get anything done. Oh yeah. I wanted to bring this up. Pat Hughes and Jose Cardinal and Buck O'Neill were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and or not the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Cubs Hall of Fame, which is some dinky plaque out,
which is in the literally a hallway.
Yeah, it's in the hallway in the corner. They got, you know, they were going to make it another beer stand, but instead they put some plaques up, and they'll make it a beer stand soon. The Hall of Fame beer stand, where you can buy Hall of Fame beer brought to you by Budweiser. But in the meantime, it was kind of a nice moment. Jose Cardinal and Pat Hughes both threw out the first pitch. And, you know, just kind of a nice moment. It's nice to see Pat on the field. You know, this is making him really happy. So anything that makes Pat happy, I'm for. So it was kind of a nice moment.
When they announced it to him during the game, he was visibly, like, emotional about it. So, you know,
yeah,
happy to see him get, you know, some recognition from this team.
Yeah, get his due. So, and then game three, I mean, as we just said, Wesneski was kind of the opposite of his debut, and it was, you know, then he gave up.
Do you want
homer.
Either of these last two poems here?
Give me the last poem. How about that one? We don't have to do all the poems, do we?
No. Right. Cubs poem 140, Chicago 2, San Francisco 4. Wrigley a little light for ESPN at night. Miley throwing 5, keeping Cubs alive. The Wes is a rookie. Giving up. Say you got one back. 13th season Jack. Deep in empty seats. Cubs still getting beat.
Yeah. Yeah, Saya with a good week. Couple dongs. He had that. He almost came back against the Reds, and that was fun. And then, you know, last night. But he
looking,
you know,
real empty out there in Wrigley.
Well, it said
30,000 paid, but I don't think there was 30,000.
Well, that's why Ricketts comes out. And he's just like, it's like, I love these fans. These fans are amazing. They're great. It's like, they pay and don't even show up. I cut half the staff. Didn't even have to pay. It's like, I sent everybody home early and saved myself another $4,000. Like, see ya.
$15 buy myself an another pair of khaki 40. Pants to wear over here.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, this was not a great game. I thought what I did enjoy was Fran Mil Reyes singing I Will Always Love You. Miley was pretty good through his 5 innings pitched, only gave up the one run on 4 hits. Now he's somebody pitching for his next contract. I don't know what you do with that.
He's actually looked fairly good the last 2 starts, I think. You know, it's just that Wesneski, like, overshadowed him last time.
Overshadowed him last time, but it also, like, Miley's still working his way back. We don't know what we got out of that
right
guy.
They got 4 out of him the first time and 1 run, and then they got 5 out of him this time and 1 run. Like, I don't know. I think somebody's gonna give him some money next year. I mean, just I hope it's not the Cubs, though.
Well, hopefully the Cubs will take some of their money and they will fix the seats in the 1914 Club. I forgot to put this up there. Look at this. This is on almost every single seat. The foam is exposed. Yeah. The corners are torn open and the foam is exposed. Look at that. On 2 seats right next to each other. It's torn in. I forgot to show that.
Anyway, ghetto. Come on.
Yeah, that's not good. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is that here's something you're also not going to see is our man Zach McKinstry, 4 hits in 1 game, got his average from like 160 to 192.
Yeah. So,
and he was a home run away from the cycle.
And and I pointed this out in the notes. I don't know if you saw it, but yeah, he's hitting 192 after a 4-game hit. It's the only 4 hits he's had in September. And he's playing like every day. He's got 4 hits in September. That was it, that game. So if you're a McKinstry fan, you missed out if you didn't go to that one game.
Go to that one, yeah. So anyway, it was a national game. Those are hard to watch for me. They had everybody mic'd up and their grandmother, and it just like it's they had poor Evan Longoria. He's got a pitch com in one ear, he's got the freaking broadcast in the other ear. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't think right now. I'm like, yeah, dude, you're supposed to be just playing baseball and they're just bothering you.
Yeah, I hate that shit. It's insane.
On the sideline, it's fine, like seeing Fran Mill sing, and here also, like, pick a guy that's going to be fun. Because half the time they get some stuffed shirt out there. He's like, well, I, you know, looked at the numbers on this guy and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, and like, no, I want to hear freaking Fran Mill singing Whitney.
The only time I've seen it, well, and Fran Mill's in the dugout, so he's at least not fucking pitching because he doesn't, or he's not playing in the game because he only plays like this fake ass bullshit position. So he's in the dugout. They can talk to him all they want. The only time I've seen this really work with the guy on the field was the cornfield game and Joey Votto, because Joey Votto is like, oh no, this is my show. I'm taking this shit over. You're not asking any more questions. I'm just going to fucking tell you stories about what's going on here. Like, it
that's
was
what
great.
I mean. You find the right guy. Like, you know, they just do it to do it. And, you know, just because they're good at baseball and you want to hear from them doesn't mean that they're worth hearing from.
Oh,
they're not all interesting.
You know how I feel about that. Yeah. I mean, there were times when players would be coming on to this show and I'd be like, I can skip that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really give a shit. Like, they're not going to say anything fucking interesting.
Yeah, they're going to be boring. Like, it's true.
Glendon Rush on. I was like, this is going to be good. He's not playing baseball. He'll talk some shit. He'll say some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's fun.
Yeah. No, and he's just like a fun, jovial character who wants to sit back and tell the old stories. I mean, that's the thing. It's like Dempster was good too, you know, in the same way. So, I think we lost both series this week against mediocre teams, and I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
Oh, well, we do have to mention the one last thing about that game. Nico got hurt.
Well, kind of.
It's like a strain or something.
Strain of his tricep. Doesn't sound.
Okay, but Danny, we never know what's happening with this fucking like medical crew, because
that's true.
We get a guy, Seiya Suzuki, I think, was on the team for 3 weeks before he went on the IL, and then he was day-to-day, and then he was, like, gone for 4 months. Those are all ASDOT numbers. But, it's been insane like that. They do this shit all the time where they're like, oh,
Wilson Contreras was,
and then you're like, he broke his entire hip.
No, Wilson Contreras was like running the bases with crutches. And they're like, he's fine. He like can't stand up, can't crouch. Like, they're like, he's good. And then finally they put him on the IL. I was like, actually, his foot is just dangling off a bloody stump. Like, maybe we should do something.
Well, I couldn't believe he came back in the cornfield game. Like, the way he rolled that shit. It's like,
yeah,
he probably wouldn't. I shouldn't say probably, but he might not have had to go on the IL if they just fucking take him and put that shit on ice right
first
then.
Day. Yeah, exactly. And they said they let him play an extra 2 weeks. So anyway, we are going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back to talk about a few things. I think we should talk about Nico Horner when we come back, and then we're going to get into some more league-wide things.
No. I thought we were bringing in Uncle Mike this.
Oh, we are, but I'm saying, bring in Uncle Mike if he wants to talk about Nico Horner. You know what I mean?
No, he doesn't. Well, I was going to say we could talk about the Mets next, put that other shit to the back. I don't know.
Nah, we're going live. We're bringing Mike back, and we're doing whatever we feel like.
All right, we're bringing Uncle Mike in. We're going to ask him questions about the Cubs, and he's going to go like, who are these people that you're talking about?
Yeah, we'll be right back. This is a Cubs fan buying tickets from the Cubs. And this is a Cubs fan buying tickets through the StubHub link at sunranto.com/StubHub, knowing that 4% of their ticket purchase will go to the Sun Ranto show instead of into the pockets of rich corporate douchebags. Buy all your tickets through sunranto.com/StubHub. Don't worry, it won't cost you a single penny extra. It don't stink to click our link. This is an Amazon shopper buying things from Amazon. And this is an Amazon shopper buying things through the links at sunranto.com/Amazon, knowing that up to 10% of their purchase will go to the Sun Ranto show instead of that cocksucker Jeff Bezos, who will just use the money to go to space. Plus, if you buy all your Amazon items through sunranto.com/Amazon, you could win a monthly prize. sunranto.com/StubHub and sunranto.com/Amazon. Two great ways to support the Sun Ranto show while sticking it to evil corporations who suck. And it won't cost you a single penny.
It don't stink to click our link.
The Sun Ranto Show is always brought to you by all of our Patreon subscribers, who we call the Super Ranters. Well, who are the Super Ranters? Well, Super Ranters, they have their own RSS feed, and they get the show early and ad-free delivered to their inbox or podcatcher. They get bonus content, for example, like the recording of our ColorCast conversations. They get exclusive access to the Sun Ranto Super Ranters Facebook page and our private Discord channel, which we've been using a fair amount this season. Our Patreon patrons are also eligible for all our Sun Ranto contests, like the Super Ranter of the Month and Sun Ranto Scavenger Hunts, which we'll get to later on in the year once the weather finally gets better. There's perks at every level. $5 Super Ranters get to hear all the Cubs parody songs before the rest of the world. $10 Super Ranters are recognized by name at the end of our shows and have access to our Cubs daily shows, which are called Sun Ranto Singles. At $12, you get the Ranter calendar every year, and you can even place an advertisement about anything you want at some of the higher levels. So the most important thing is we like to give back to our community here in Chicago. So 10% of all of our Patreon money goes directly to the Lost Boys Baseball Club, which uses baseball to help decrease violence and improve the social conditions for young people in Chicago. It is one of Sun Ranto's main missions to serve our community here. Here's the thing. It costs a lot of money and time for us to produce a great Cubs fan show, and frankly, a penny a download from our podcast advertisers like gambling syndicates and dick pill companies. It's just not enough to keep Sun Ranto on the air. We have hosting fees, streaming fees, equipment, tickets, batteries. Subscribe today and you'll never have to hear me ask you to become a Patreon patron again, because the show will be ad-free. Stop making me waste your time. Sign up for as little as a dollar a month. Patreon.com/Sunranto. Patreon.com/Sunranto. Please join us today. Then join at the $3 level. That's $3 a month. We each get a beer at Wrigley a year. Patreon.com/Sunranto is where you sign up. That's Patreon.com/Sunranto. Patreon.com/Sunranto.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Peace, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It's Uncle Mike. Mike's on the show. Mets fan, now a displaced New Yorker out there on the sunny coast. Out in sunny L.A. And
he gets 3 hours more sleep every day.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how that works, right?
What happens is I wake up early and I'm fiddling my thumbs trying to figure out, should I just be lying in bed watching watching court TV, or should I be more productive with my life? So
things do seem to happen later on the West Coast. Like you wake up and the whole world has already had like half their day.
Well, what's weird is, like, this is my first time out here doing, like, football season. So yesterday, Sunday.
You start drinking at 9.
At 10 o'clock in the morning, you're like, oh, the games are coming on. What the heck? You know, it's like, you know, by 4 in the afternoon, the second game is already over, you know, which is just a, you know, it's something to get used to, guys.
Because it makes it really backwards, right? Because when you're on the East Coast, you can actually go and get like half a day's worth of shit done and then watch the game for the rest of the day. And then, but when you're on the West Coast, you're drunk by the time that games are over. And then you're like, well, the rest of my day is fucked. Like I can't do anything.
And then on Sunday here in LA, I don't know if you guys know, but I mean, things close early, man. Like you know, fast food's not my thing anymore, but that's the only thing open after like 9-10 o'clock on a Sunday. Yeah, you know, if you try to go to a restaurant or your favorite little deli, it's closed at 8. I mean, that's the other thing. And I'm like, this is a major like metropolis, you know, like how is shit closing at 9 o'clock on a Sunday? I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, do you miss going to Mets games? Because you could be. It seems like it's been fun out there. You got, like, what's his name, Timmy Trumpet, playing the Narco song.
I do miss City Field. I did catch them on the West Coast trip. I didn't go to San Diego, but I did go to Dodger Stadium, and we won the game I was at, that Sunday night game, overtime thriller.
How was your Dodger Stadium experience?
You know what? It was weird because I was thinking, like, there's going to be a lot of hate because there's been some serious, like, you know, people getting killed, you know, like, in the stands, man, like, wearing opposition. But I was told that because I had a Met hat on and my mom had a Brooklyn Dodger hat on. I went with my mom. She had a Brooklyn Dodger hat on and I had a Met hat on. And we actually made friends with people. But one of the guys says, yeah, you don't have to worry about that because you guys are Met fans and Dodger fans. But if you had a giant San Francisco Giant hat on, it would be trouble.
Yeah, I think that's true. And because there is a connection with the reason a lot of Mets fans are Mets fans is because the Dodgers left Brooklyn.
Exactly.
And then you only had the Yankees left, which was, and then because the Giants left too. And right. So, and you know, if you grew up a Dodger fan, you couldn't just like, oh, I'm a Yankee fan now. Like, right. You know, you always grew up being like, the freaking Yankees, screw the Yankees. You know what I mean? So when they lost their team, then the Mets come in what, 62?
62.
And then so a lot of the National League fans that were Dodgers fans, which because they would have had no baseball for like 7-8 years or something like that. So yeah. They just went right with the Mets.
Well, I'll tell you, seeing those two games, you know, in Chavez Ravine, I believe that's called.
Yeah, Chavez Ravine.
And it's around the same time. I think the old Shea Stadium and Chavez was built around the same time. So it was kind of cool, like, actually, you know, being in that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium, very modern. I have to say the sound system was kick-ass too. I mean,
they pump it up. It's loud, yeah.
That sound system for an older stadium was kick-ass. And then the other interesting part, when I went to Angel Stadium, which, again, I have to shout out to all the employees and the staff, because, you know, I was in all Met gear. But everybody was, like, super-duper nice. My mom was in a wheelchair, so we had to go through the special elevators and things of that nature. But I got to shout them out. They really took care of me. You know, it was no boos or hisses, but it was more smiles and happy faces and, you know, welcome to the Angel Stadium, which I felt comforted by that.
Well, the Angels, I mean, they've always been, like, you know, kind of, you know, a little pansy-ish out there, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, it's freaking Disney World. They're right by Disney. Everyone's just smiling all the time, you know, high on sunshine, you know.
The Team Autry's team, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've never done anything. They've had the best two players in the major leagues.
Yeah, man.
And the only manager to lead the Cubs to the World Series in over 100 years, and they couldn't come higher than like second or third place. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And now I don't even know where they are now. The Mariners are eating their lunch. The Mariners. So, yeah, they're just too nice.
They are stinking right now, but just for the record, they are where are they? I can't find them on the standings.
Angel Moreno says Angels are like the Clippers.
Yeah. There they are.
Angel Moreno, isn't he the owner of the Angels?
Yes, it's Artie.
They're 61-79, and they're third in that AL West division.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean,
17 and a half games out. They got a chance, right?
Yeah, right.
The other way I have to say, too, out here, I mean, Dodger fans are super obnoxious in the sense where, I mean,
I hate
them. I guess they're happy, but they're already like, oh, the magic number is 6. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they're already counting down, but, I mean, they have a commanding lead.
they're a totally commanding lead over the Padres, who basically sold their entire farm system in order to get a third place wild card spot, I guess. And then the Dodgers are like ordained as, like, I guess, the NL champs. Yeah. But really, if you look at it on paper, I mean, they do have the best team. But if you look at where the Mets are, I would say on paper, they're maybe the second best team.
Yeah.
In the majors right now.
Well, the Yankees, the evil empire is hanging.
Not in the majors, in the NL.
Yes.
So you beat us 3-4 at Wrigley, outscored us handily, 16-7. You're 89-52, so right. you're going to win 100 games likely this year,
yeah.
including the next three against us, starting in a half hour. And then and you just beat the Marlins. You're winning 2 or 3 out of everybody. Marlins, you should beat, who you've spanked the pants off all year. They got good pitching, but not against you. 2 or 3, 2 or 3, you just keep doing it. Yet the Braves are knocking at the door. They've had a really great September. And, Bill Suga says right here, Braves call bullshit. So the Braves are coming. I don't know.
Michael and Rocket, respect to the Braves, man. They're the champs, you know. So I'm not going to sit here and bash their team. They have a really good team, minus Freddie Freeman, went to the Dodgers. So I'm not going to bash them. But they're a great team.
They've scored the second most runs.
4 out of 5 when they were at home with us. We took 4 out of 5, and then we went down there and they whooped us up a little bit. But it's going to be interesting, man. Right now they were in first place actually, the middle of last week when the Pirates of all teams kind of whooped on us.
I saw that.
So they actually was in first place for one day, and then we just went on a 2-game winning streak. And so
it's nice to have an actual race.
Yeah, no, it's
rather than what's going on out there on the West Coast. It's just like,
or unfortunately, in the Central right now is the Brewers.
Or unfortunately, everywhere else in baseball, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the Braves, here's why they're knocking at the door. They've only, the Dodgers have scored the most runs of anyone, 756. I mean, the Mets have scored 90 less than the Dodgers. So, that's a juggernaut offense right there. But then the Braves, they're second, and the Mets are fifth in runs scored. And that's really where it counts. You scoring freaking runs, you know? And then pitching wise, the Braves are also right there, they're fifth in team ERA, 3.23. So they're pitching it, they're hitting it.
Yep.
And the Mets, they don't have quite the staff. Maybe you do now from a starting staff at this point with DeGrom being back. But
yeah, thank God he's looking good too. He's back. But now we have Max. Max Scherzer is on the IR, and I hear it's only precautionary. They're sort of kind of saying to themselves, let's not wear him out during the regular season because we're going to need him in the playoffs. So I hear it's precautionary because of the interview I saw with him. He's like, I'm fine. So, but the media was like, but why are you in the IR if you're fine? Yeah. So, the New York press is crazy, man. They want to know, how'd you do that? Or where'd your mom eat dinner last night? I mean, they asked the craziest questions, but... Max will be back soon, and this kid Bassett, I don't know if we're gonna move on to
he's pitching tonight.
This guy has been one of the most consistent under the radar. I think the last time I was on, I kind of jokingly mentioned his name, and we never ever really talked about him, but he's been the one guy he's our fourth starter. He usually starts after Carrasco, and he's just been consistently rolling around.
Yeah, this guy's pitching tonight. And his last time he went out there, 7 innings pitched, 1 run on 5 hits, 10 strikeouts. Now it's against Pittsburgh, which is a young team that's probably swinging at everything. But
yeah,
still, the Cubs did not see him this year. But the guys that have seen him don't do very well against him. Reyes is 0-for-6. Zach McKinstry has a homer, but that's not going to happen.
Whatever.
Don't worry about that happening again. That if that already happened, it's not happening again.
Right. He's got his one.
So yeah, this guy's pretty good. And then we're sending out like a kid. Julian Assange. I mean, Javier Assad. Sorry, I always get those guys mixed up. They look exactly the same.
That name sounds familiar. What team? What farm team was he in?
Ours.
Julian.
Yeah.
Oh, Julian. The Russian farm team.
Yeah. I don't know. WikiLeaks. Do they have a farm team? anyway, Assad. He's been out there a few times. He's new. Nobody ever heard of him. Then he came up and he did okay. except for last time. So maybe there's a book on him. We'll see how it goes tonight. But yeah, I don't think you really, he gave up four runs against the Reds, only went five, but at least he ate. See, now that's like, oh, you went five innings. That's good. Right. Like, that's what people think now.
Oh God, I know, right?
Oh, that was terrible. That
I mean, so it's terrible. It's good for a rookie, for a dude that like right. nobody knew about yeah. 2 weeks ago. I'll take five innings, but yeah, you shouldn't be like getting
bragging about
know,
it.
All excited about like your fucking ace goes five innings.
Yeah. So then you got Adrian Sampson. He's going to go against Jacob DeGrom, so that's going to be cut tough. Jacob DeGrom hasn't given up much at all.
Are these all night games or any day games?
They're all 6:15 starts here, Central Central Time.
Okay.
So 7:15 or 7:10?
Yeah, 7:10 Eastern.
Yeah, 7:10. So basically 23 minutes. But, yeah, the Sampson and DeGrom, that's going to be rough. But Sampson's pitched pretty well for the Cubs, and it kind of surprised the hell out of everybody that's been looking at it. And the Mets have seen him a little bit. Mark Canha has two home runs. This is Tuesday's game. Overall, they actually have done quite well. They're slashing in 69 plate appearances.
Nice.
328, 377, 500 for 877 OPS. So what the Mets have seen of Sampson, they've liked, and it hasn't gone well for him, although he only gave up two runs on six hits in July against the Mets. So we'll see what happens there. And then DeGrom, his first game was August 2nd, and he beat Pittsburgh decidedly, gave up nothing and threw seven innings. Gomes can hit him. He's 3-for-7. That's really like about it. And then game three is going to be Drew Smyly. He's 6-8 with a 3.57. We already talked about him earlier in the show. He's been doing awesome. And we don't know, it's not announced, but maybe David Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson's been the guy. It's funny. He's probably got the, I won't say the most frequent flyer miles, but in terms of just traveling back and forth from the minor leagues to the big leagues, I mean, he's been that guy that, like, you know, when Scherzer comes back, you know, he'll be back on that bus or back on that, you know, that Spirit Airline plane back to the minor leagues.
He'll be he's just a fill-in pitcher, but he's been doing well.
I was just going to say, I mean, he was very disappointed when he wasn't chosen as a starter, and he actually made everyone know that. But he's been consistent every time he's come up. So let's see. I think we're going to be okay with him.
Well, the Mets have seen Smyly quite a bit, and they do quite well against him. They in 124 plate appearances, they're slashing 319, 374, 584 for a 958 OPS. So you thought it might get better. It got worse.
That's not good.
Eduardo Escobar has four home runs against him in only 12 at-bats. And he's batting 583.
Watch out, he's sneaky. I swear, he must be getting drug tested. It's just amazing. He comes off the IR and he's killing it. Yeah,
he's got that 2310 OPS.
Yeah, he's having what Pujols is having. So so anyway, that's, you know, we never know. Like, past performance isn't necessarily what's going to happen, but it doesn't look good for the Cubs starting pitchers in this series. And the Mets have just a shockingly, I mean, not shockingly, much better team considering you have the second highest payroll in all of baseball. So
finally, think of all the years that the Wilpons owned the team. I mean, they just, either they claimed they didn't have the money, or
they didn't. Bernie Madoff stole it.
Yeah, Bernie Madoff took all their money.
But they weren't spending. But Steve Cohen is really interesting. Steve Cohen has said that, you know, from the very beginning, because I think everyone assumed, because he's a hedge fund gazillionaire, that he would just come in here and, you know, and pay the luxury tax. Is there a luxury tax in baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So everybody assumed that we would just, you know, go out and get the biggest, you know, the biggest and the baddest. But he's also said that, he says, you know what, I didn't become rich, you know, being foolish about spending my money. So he's let Met fans know, like, okay, guys, settle down. I'm gonna try to get what you need, but in the same time, we're gonna do it in a smart way.
No,
but,
yeah. Oh, here you go. You're gonna spend $100 million next year if you don't make it.
Yeah,
that's how we run.
If Aaron Judge wants to come to the Mets, we'll take him.
Oh, the Yankees fans would love that. Oh, man. Well, your second highest payroll in baseball behind the Dodgers. So you're kind of thinking that and I think those are probably the top two teams in the NL on paper. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. And of course, they're letting the Cardinals all take steroids, and they're just like putting, you know, they're throwing up the juiced balls, the Pujols, you know, every single time he's up there so he can hit. They're probably hoping he could pass Babe Ruth by the end of this season, the last week of the season, they're throwing racquetballs.
Yeah. just
this little, like, is that ball blue and tiny? golf balls, just like underhands, just meatballs right down the middle.
That's crazy.
So, so it should be fun. Like, Cubs, Mets. I mean,
it's always a fun time with Cubs, Mets. I mean, it's usually competitive. I mean, those games last, you know, in the beginning of the season were competitive, right? If I remember right, it wasn't. We didn't walk away with anything. Teams were fighting, you know.
Yeah. I guess we were kind of fighting. just most of our guys are fighting to stay in the majors.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did it rain there yesterday, guys?
It did.
Oh my god.
Oh my God, did it rain? And
it was like between San Francisco and you know, Go Bears, by the way.
They won it.
Yeah,
it looks like the rain is heading east, and good chance of rain for Tuesday night's game. We'll see what happens there.
It's a little warmer. It's a little warmer out there in New York than it has been here for us.
Yeah, dropped. We're about 10 to 20 degrees cooler right now. So, anyway. Mike, you know, thanks for coming on and previewing the Mets. We're going to take another quick commercial break before we kind of end the show. You can stick around and talk about the last few kind of like points of Cubs fandom and what's going on in with our cheap freaking owner, or you can take the hell off.
Honestly, I would love to stay. But as you know, Rocket, I do have another job.
You have another job. We have a similar job. Mike works on stuff I write almost every day, I think, pretty much.
It's so funny. I know without hearing your voice, I know what your voice is just from reading.
What I write every day.
Exactly. That's a whole other thing. But Michael, thank you, man. Rocket, I'll see you guys next time. And for everyone out there in San Rento fandom, I appreciate you guys having me on every time. Check me out on the Twitter at Bills Kid W. What's that? BILLSKID. And yeah, Instagram. I'm kind of not quite sure about Instagram, but I'm there if you want to find me as well. And I read liner notes in the fall. I promise. Probably October something, we'll get back to the I Read Liner Notes, which is a music show that I do. So
yeah, live overnight music show. I love it too. Cool. Well, it's not overnight anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Now you get to go to bed at 1 a.m. instead of 4. Awesome, dude. Well, thanks for coming on. We're going to take a quick break. Say goodbye to Uncle Mike, but, you know.
Great seeing you, Uncle Mike.
Great seeing you. We'll be talking to you again when the playoffs come on, because you're our playoff correspondent, because we're not in it.
Great for me, because I would love, since I'm here, a Dodger Mets series would just warm my heart, man. And my mom, too, because I'll bring my mom to the game, you know.
The NLDS out there.
Yeah, that would be fucking super.
Cool. Well, thanks. We'll be right back, and we'll pinch off this episode by complaining about the Cubs that are about to play the Mets. Here's a commercial for Patreon.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show, delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a Super Ranter today.
Okay, let's call this section Rapid Ranto, because we've got 13 minutes to get through everything. And I've including the hashtag chance in the chat giveaway. I think we could do it, Michael. Is it possible to get through all the things we were going to do with this show right now?
No, never.
Okay, but we'll go ahead anyway. We'll start. Let's start with Nico Horner, because we had a little bit of a conversation about whether the defensive stats of Nico Horner are really what they're like. He's got the most defensive runs saved in the world, and now he's the greatest shortstop, and we don't need to get anybody else that's better. It's going to be awesome. And then people are like, I don't know.
Yeah, so yeah, we were having this conversation, and Bill Sugis is in the chat there. You know, he made the point. He's like, he's not seeing it, and that always, like, I'm the same way. And this is not shitting on Nico. I think Nico is a great player. I love Nico. I just love him more at second base. And so I looked into some of these numbers because it's like, hey, defensive run saved. He's the best in the league, right? So everyone else must be worse than him. Well, I don't know. So I decided I actually just, to keep it brief, I put him up against Xander Bogaerts and Javi Baez. So our old shortstop and the guy that we may get for next year. Some of us want that guy. So the total, well, let's start with the defensive run saved. Nico's leading the league there. He's got 12 defensive runs saved. Like, that's supposed, like, however they figure this shit out, it's, that's like total zone fielding and numbers of chances. And I don't know. And then you carry the four, I think, I don't know. But yeah, he's got 12 defensive runs saved. Xander Bogaerts has 2, and Javi has -3. Like, more people round the bases than even hit the ball when Javi's out there, apparently. But so that's kind of where we're at with that. Like, okay, so
yes, he's good.
So he's good, but he's that much better than these guys? Like, really? So then I looked at
the stat when he's that much better.
Yeah. Then I look at total zone fielding. So this is like the range, like this is the range plus all this stuff. Again, it's basically the same fucking thing, but they just put a different number on it. And in that one, Nico is a 4. He's got 4 for that one. Well, Xander has 9 and Javi's at -2. Javi's just having a really shitty year.
See, that's the thing. I've noticed this too. Like, I've looked at fielders and I keep ranking them at different things and they keep flying all around. Like, I'm like, does anybody really know what they're looking at, or is eyeball test actually the best way to freaking judge this stuff? And doesn't it matter if your coaching staff is even good at positioning your dudes? Yeah. That seems like it would matter a lot.
Right. And it depends on, you know, what kind of team you're on, who your pitchers are and what they're doing. You know, there's a lot of different things that go into this, but in general, as best as they can figure, Xander Bogaerts is much better in this total zone, total fielding stat than Nico is. But so how does that work? Let's look at the range factor. Well, Nico is sitting at a range factor. This is how much ground he can cover. A 3.91 and a 3.65. And I don't understand this exactly, but 3.91 is the range per nine innings, while 3.65 is the range per game. And for some reason, everybody's numbers are better per nine innings than they are per game.
That's because they're awesome in extras.
But yeah, I don't know what that means. It doesn't make any sense, yeah. Right?
That's what I'm saying. They're just making this stuff up. This is the stuff that they're looking at every day and think they know what to do. That's why this crap is why we have to watch Zach McKinstry lead off every day. This is the reason.
Bill says 3.91 feet to his left.
Pretty much exactly. And 3.65 feet to his right.
Right, yeah. So Xander Bogaerts, if you wonder where he's sitting at this, he has a 4.02 and a 3.85. So he's like
higher,
has more range, gets to more balls than Nico does. Okay. But he's got two defensive runs saved versus the 12, even though his total zone fielding is 9, you know? Yeah. And then we get to Javi Baez. He has 4.42 / 4.13. Javi Baez is leading the league in range factor, and he led it last year too. And this is the thing. If you're wondering, if you're like, I'm watching Nico, I know he's good, but he doesn't look like what I'm used to seeing. It's because fucking Javi covers more everything.
Ground, yeah. Even I saw Morel get to a ball after he took over for Nico in that game and threw across the diamond and got the out. And that was a little bit more than what I was accustomed. Like, I don't know, but it just looked like, ooh, that's a ball that maybe Nico doesn't get to, that Morel got to even.
I have seen Morel get to some balls. He's quick at shortstop. Morel's only issue is the fucking gun of an arm he has. He has to, like, figure out how to just take his time. He doesn't need to throw it 150 miles per hour
baseball
every time.
Baseball IQ, the timing of it all, who's running. Yeah, that's stuff you get to know as you get older. But I am not suggesting, by the way, that Christopher Morel be the starting
We really don't want a sharding story.
Yeah, I think that's what we might get, though. Yeah. I think these are interesting numbers, but keep going through them, because we're never going to get, if we just keep
hold on, I'm going to cruise through these real fast. These are the numbers that all of us, these are the concrete numbers that most of us can actually understand. Putouts. So we got Nico has 115 putouts this year. Xander Bogaerts has 147. Javi has 174. So he's got like almost 50 more or 60 more putouts than Nico Hoerner does this year.
Would that be like a catch and a stepping on a base?
No, like making the out. Yeah, like picking it up, throwing it for the out, right? And then I believe that's what it's
called. Or getting the out yourself?
Getting the out. That would be way too many.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be way too. It's got to be throwing to first, just like whatever. But then you look at the chances that they've had.
Or tagging a runner with the ball, you can get it.
Nico Hoerner has 465 chances for 24.7% conversion rate on chances to outs. Xander Bogaerts has 509 chances. Okay, that's a big jump. And why is that a big jump? Because Xander Bogaerts can get to more balls.
Yeah.
And when he gets to those more balls, he's at 28.8% conversion rate of getting outs on those chances. Okay? So you're going to yourself, "Oh, so what I'm actually seeing is real." Right? He's getting to more balls and he's getting more outs. And then you get Javi freaking Baez. This dude's had 518 chances and he gets an out 33.5% of the time. Like, that's
What is a chance?
Jump.
I want to know how they define a chance. Is that a ball that's just going by him? Well, it was a chance for him, and so because 33 it's low. A chance like is like you get like get to the ball and you only get it 33% of the time. Like that doesn't seem.
No, right. I think it's a ball that he can get to, right, and goes for and can get to. So. Of
it
the ball,
I am by like 5 feet, and then you get hit with a chance. Like that
I don't
sucks.
Know if it's within 3.91 feet, that's a chance for Nico.
Well, a put out, yeah, exactly. Well, a put out. This is all very interesting to really dig down into this. I don't know if we have time to do it right now, but the put outs, and I think everybody should look it up. It's actually tagging a runner with the ball when he's not touching a base, catching a batted or thrown ball, and tagging a base to put out a batter or runner. Catching a thrown ball and tagging a base to record an out, catching a third strike, it goes on, catching a batted ball on the fly. So it is all those things. That's all putouts. So,
yeah. And, you know, and then you get into double plays and again, it's 55 for Nico, 70 or 64 for Bogarts and 70 for Javi Baez.
The numbers are thick. When you start getting into D's, that's why I'm like, does it make more sense in some way to go somewhat by eyeball test? You know, yeah, like
no, and I think it is because there are these numbers do make sense. And when you hear defensive run safe, that sounds amazing. And it's very important. But we saw Darwin Barney win a gold glove at second base and
we knew that wasn't like
everybody knew he wasn't that good. It's just that every ball that was sort of within his range because his range was not good. He was picking up and getting. That's great. He should get every ball that is in his range. But
well, either way, don't hold your breath for anybody new because Tom Ricketts has gone out there to the world and said, you can't buy a championship team. But club is well positioned for free agency, which is actually two different things. It's like this.
Right. You can't buy a championship team, even though we're well positioned to try.
Yeah. So, but here's the quote, and we're going to end on this, and we don't have to say too much about it because I think it's quite self explanatory about what we're looking at here. We can bitch about it, but what's the point? Ricketts says the fact is that you can't buy a championship team in baseball. You have to build it. And that's what we're doing. And in order to build it, you've got to take years where you let young guys get at bats, give them a chance to prove themselves and prove to me, quote, you know, like I'm adding that, and find out who you actually have to build around. And that's been what this year is all about. And it's a success. So apparently the fact that we're on pace for 69 wins, although nice. A nice season, is a success to him. And I tell you what the big success is. Stands full of idiots making cup snakes.
Did anybody tell Frazier that this year is all about young guys just getting a chance to play? Because I think he might have a different idea of what happened there. You remember that guy?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, no. Yeah, exactly.
They didn't give him a fucking chance at all. And yet, McKinstry gets to fucking play every day.
Yeah. But Jackson Frazier's like, he's like, you get to play every day in Iowa till you get your head straight, Jackson.
Right. Yeah. We took a dude from New York City and we put him in Des Moines and we're like, enjoy yourself, kid. Yeah. This is how you get better.
Yeah. So what I do want to talk about at some future show, and we're going to have at some point, like either before the game, before the Mets game or after the Mets game, I've got to check my schedule here on Wednesday. We're going to have another one of those Twitter spaces, which people seem to really like. I like them a lot because I get to hear from you. And I figured that is the perfect time that we should get together and talk about some of these rule changes and what people think about them. We had it in the notes on today's show. We have opinions, obviously. The whole league has opinions and about what it's doing to the game.
Yeah, I think that was a good one for the.
Yeah.
For the
so we're going to do that on Wednesday.
We just have to remember, don't talk about the Cubs to start. We'll just get right into Madden. and then go to the Cubs. Otherwise, we'll end up talking about the fucking starting rotation again.
Because Madden talked about, like, the nerds and the quants, you know, getting out of the dugout, and he wants to be left alone. And also, you know, at the same time, they're making bigger bases. They're changing the pickoff rules. They're doing all this crap. So pitch clocks coming. So we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet because, right, like, this season is just way too exciting.
Well, we, you know, what it is actually we get a lot of really good guests that come in and want to talk about their team, and we want to talk about their team with them. And that's more fun to talk to some of these guests than it is to do this shit.
Just bitch about Manfred, man. Yeah. Rules all the time. Yeah. So I do have a TFC. I got a couple of them, actually. One of them's related to what I was just talking about, so I'll start. I really enjoyed this, and for the podcast listeners, this is a visual. Sam Nehar tweeted out a hilarious Photoshop of Jose Altuve standing on the new bases, and it's just like this tiny miniature Jose Altuve standing.
He's probably like half an inch tall.
Yeah, just looking like the Littles. Remember those series of books back in the day? The Littles, these tidy people, or the Lilliputians if you go to Gulliver's Travels. Like,
there you go.
Tiny miniature people, the size of a mouse. So, and go ahead. Do you have one?
Yeah. So, yeah, I have actually three, but we'll do this one first. This was me
starting. We're missing it.
Yeah. This was me. Horrendous. Patrick Muller writes, Iowa Hawkeyes football offense is so bad it would leave Boog Shiambi speechless. Which I had to jump in with that one. That was definitely.
You look up Boog, don't you? You're just like, you're obsessed.
Actually, today I did look up Boog. I was like, there's got to be something on Boog. Oh my God. And it, like, nobody is like fucking mellow on him. They hate him or they love him.
Well, do two in a row, because I'll
follow up with this one that came from that. Rob's sexuality is not his identity. Says this Boog Shiambi real CJ10 story is so great. I wish Shiambi called games for Braves on Bally. He's as good as anyone else out there. Legendary Braves. Blah blah blah. And I retweeted this and said, I'm a Cubs fan, and I wish Shiambi called games for Atlanta as See, well.
You're obsessed. You're totally and obsessed.
And then I got this dude. Want to trade Boog Shiambi for Chip Carey straight up? He came back. And, I mean, I don't know if he knows. We already had Chip. And yeah, absolutely. I make that trade every fucking day. I don't like. Look, I was never as big a hater on Chip Carey as everyone else was, but he's definitely better than Boog Shiambi.
Yeah. So then let's see, what do I have here? Oh yeah, this actually comes from YouTube, and this is on our show, the last show that we did. We got this guy writing in. Andrew Ooh. Leach 5 days ago said, came here to drink the tears. You did not disappoint. Slandering a future Hall of Famer with absolutely no basis is a bad look, by the way. If you took the time to actually look at the numbers objectively, you'll see that Pujols has literally always crushed lefties, even during the worst of the Angels' years. The overall numbers were bad because he was getting killed by righties. He had success with the Dodgers when he only faced left-handed pitching. When the Cardinals stopped batting him against righties in the second half, he started mashing left-handed pitching. It's irresponsible to accuse someone of cheating with zero evidence. Again, thanks for quenching my tear thirst. So, I looked up the numbers yet once again.
I love that he hate-watched the show.
Oh, I know. Thanks for watching, whatever your name was, Andrew. Thanks for watching, Andrew. So I looked up the numbers yet once again to look for evidence, because apparently I've got no evidence. Well, here's my evidence. Okay, that Pujols is juice. Okay, here's his first half and second half this year. Okay, he's literally more than double the player he was in the first half of the year. Yeah. He is slashing. His OPS is double. Okay, so he's got double the home runs in 46 less at bats. And so in fact, in 59 less plate appearances.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got double the home runs. Okay. But no, it's just because he's only facing lefties now and it's magic la la land. No, I don't know what's happening, but his freaking neck is giant and they're throwing him racquetballs. Okay. So I'm like, okay, let me look further into it. Let's not just go first and second half. Let's go Pujols by month. Okay. It's obvious as the nose on my face. In June, he's got a 425 OPS. May, it's 661. He's not the Pujols of old. He's doing terrible. Then they start letting him take the shit right at the All-Star break. July, he goes on fire. 944 OPS. Then it climbs to 1224 as the drugs really take hold. It's now they're wearing off a little bit. He's got a 936, but he still managed to hit three home runs in half a month. So anyway, here's now let's contrast this with Pujols' last from years 2017 to 2021. Let's see what happened with them then. Well, here's what happened with him then. He batted 241 with a 290 OBP, and he slugged 410 for a 700 OPS. 13% worse than everybody in the freaking league. And then now, let's go back and look at his freaking now. It's double that. So there's my evidence, whatever your name was. I forgot again. Andrew.
I love it. Well, and that fits right in with my next TFC. And this is a true fucking cube, Sam.
Also, not
a
flexing for watching. One. Thanks for watching.
True fucking cube sand here. Tyler Howes. Legit question. Did David Ross literally just walk out there and tell his pitcher to throw nothing but cock high fastballs? That was so freaking awesome. I don't even care if he did. Hashtag Pujols. And that comes from when we watched David Ross put a lefty in there to fucking pitch him gopher balls.
Yeah, half of America's rooting for this is making it even worse for us. And they're going to just like suck them off all playoffs. If they make it through the first round, we just have to watch game after game of like these dudes getting sucked off every night. It's going to be awful. by the way, Cubs so far losing. No, they're not losing. They just aren't winning yet. It's 0-0, down 1-2-3 in the first. Reyes struck out. So
this game not to be broadcast or disseminated without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
I think that's it. You got one more?
Nope.
That was it. All right.
Cool. That you rolled right into that pool hole. So that was perfect.
Yeah. Bill Suggis writes in slurpage. So we got the Mets. They're in first place. Not feeling great about this series. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I want to thank everybody who's part of the Mike Leonard condolences jersey group on Facebook. I ended up buying the jersey for Josh. I ended up we had actually already bought something for Carl before. So this time we're just going to send flowers to a memorial service that they're having at the beginning of October with some of the money. Also, we gave donations to an animal rescue and to Trapdoor Theater. Thank you very much. And because of that, I named the new sound system at Trapdoor Hal, and I wrote it in duct tape on top of the new amp. So,
that's the kind of memento that's going to last forever. For the next 100 years.
Lasts a long time, yeah.
For the next 100 years, they're going to look at there and go, Hal.
Why is it called Hal? human amplified loudness.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and the Bleacher Bum Band is playing at Hop Stop on September 24th. That is in Riverside, Illinois, which is just outside of Chicago.
What is up with that weekend? That there's 8 fucking million things going on September 24th.
Yeah, no, a lot going on. So if one of those things that you want to do is come to see the Bleacher Bum Band and drink beer, riversidehopstop.com is where you figure out how to do that. And October 1st, I keep saying the 2nd, So it's actually the first, which is that Saturday.
It's a Saturday, yes.
Yeah, against the Reds they're playing. And then the Bleacher Bum Band will play after. We're trying to work on getting karaoke, but we don't know if our guys are
available. I am doing my absolute best to get up there and actually fucking see some ranters and hang out. I've been to one game this year. This is not what it was supposed to be like, but, you know, I'll get there one more time this year, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. And, yeah, that'll be our last show of the year. Then hopefully we'll record an album. We're thinking about that, but we'll talk about that later on some other show. Right now, there's a Cubs game to watch. We're already blabbing over 10 minutes of it, but I did promise that I was going to drop a new Fran Mil Reyes song. So we're going to end with the Chance. Hashtag Chance.
Oh, Chance. And then we'll get to Fran Mil.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, he was singing I Will Always Love You. I did like a slight remix of it. It's only 40 seconds long, but I thought it was kind of fun. I dropped it on the Patreon today. So if those of you at a certain music level, you got that first before everybody else, you should join it at that level. It's more fun over there. So let's hashtag Chance. Let's draw this sucker. If you haven't gotten in, right now is the time. Hashtag Chance. Hashtag Chance. Let's go. Bow. Chris Slotto.
Hey, way to go.
Way to go. Congratulations. You chanced better than everybody else tonight.
What a chance.
Yeah. Took your chance and you took all 100 and you hit 100% of the chances that you did take.
Yes.
I don't know. All right. Here's Fran Mil singing I'll Always Love You. Spagog, enjoy the game. We'll see you on Wednesday sometime.
Yep. Spagog.
Love you. Oh, oh, we'll always love you. Oh, oh, we'll always love you. Oh, oh, we'll always love you. Oh, oh. We'll always love you, love you, love you.